Las opiniones expresadas a continuación son única y exclusivamente responsabilidad de los invitados y no comprometen a Radio UNAD Virtual.
Innovación y desarrollo en electrónica y telecomunicaciones son pilares fundamentales para los objetivos de desarrollo sostenible. Infórmate aquí con Innovatec ETR, un programa radial de la Escuela de Ciencias Básicas, Tecnología e Ingeniería y la cadena de formación en electrónica, telecomunicaciones y redes. Innovatec ETR.
Today, Simon Rommel is with us. Simon is an assistant professor in the Terahertz Systems team of the Department of Electrical Engineering at Eindhoven University of Technology. His research focuses on highly converged, high-capacity millimeter wave and terahertz radio and optical links. This research focuses on both 5G and 6G systems, from health networks and different architectures. Simon is also interested in quantum key distribution, and he leads the design and construction of a local QKD testbed as a part of a European research project. This includes introducing QKD in communication networks, integrating it in classical network architectures and control schemes. Let's start with the first question.
What are quantum technologies?
Quantum technologies in general are any technologies that make use of what we call quantum theory. If you think of quantum theory that started being developed already in the very early parts of the 20th century, so more than 100 years ago. Now you can say that there was a first round of quantum technologies in the 1970s, 1960s, when we started using quantum technologies in order to deal with classical signals. You can think of we're using quantum effects to build better lasers, and we use these lasers to actually transmit classical telecommunication signals. Now, at this moment, we are in what we can call the second phase of quantum technologies, where we are actually starting to use quantum technologies to build devices that can handle quantum information. So we're no longer dealing with classical information that we can represent as bits and bytes. We're starting to deal with quantum information, where we then need quantum processors, quantum computers, quantum communication, quantum sensing, and eventually quantum simulations. And in this second phase of quantum technologies, we are starting to deal with information in what we call qubits. So we're no longer dealing with classical information. We're dealing with information that is represented in superposition states. So we're dealing with particles that can be in different states at the same time. And by using these particles in different states, using this quantum information, we can build completely different types of computers. We can build completely different types of communication networks. And we can do completely different types of sensing. So we can summarize that we changed the concept of information that we use in this second generation of quantum technologies, and we're building different devices, different technologies around this type of information. And we can start by talking about quantum computers. We can say that quantum computers are a completely new paradigm of computing, where we use this quantum information to gain an advantage in solving complex problems. Those problems could be cryptographic problems. When we talk about security, those problems could be, for example, the simulation of metrology, the simulation of the weather. There are processes there that can benefit from having quantum computers. So quantum computers is the first big technological building block that we're now seeing being developed in the second phase of quantum technologies. And it's one of the big contributors to what we call the quantum revolution that we're going to face, with quantum technologies now actually approaching the level where they can be useful for humanity. The second part is quantum communications, where we can say we use quantum information, or in this case, we use qubits, quantum bits, in order to transmit information or eventually to actually connect two quantum computers, so multiple quantum computers, until we actually have connected quantum computers, which again allows us to use these quantum networks to actually increase the amount of benefit that we can get from quantum computers. The next one would be quantum sensing, where we can actually use different quantum effects to build better sensors or to be able to sense different quantities in different ways than what we could do before. So we can basically use similar processes, similar concepts as we use for quantum computing and quantum communication in order to build new sensing technology that should help us augment how we understand the world around us and what we can sense, so we can actually better represent the world as we live in it in our digital models, so we can actually model the world more accurately. So we might say in summary that quantum technologies is anything that is based on quantum theory and quantum mechanics, but really only now in the second phase of quantum technologies does the entire thing come to its strength. Previously, we used it for classical information, classical data, and classical communications. Now we're actually starting to really deal with quantum information, and this is where we have, or where we see, what we call the quantum leap. We really leap into the future. We leap into a future where we have to completely change our concept of computing, at least when we deal with quantum computers. Obviously, classical computers will not go away. Classical communications will not go away. But we're starting to build these quantum technologies as a parallel to the classical infrastructure, to the classical technologies that we're already dealing with. And by doing so, by having these parallel quantum technologies, we can actually augment what our infrastructure, what our computers, what our telecommunication networks and our sensors are able to do. And therefore, we can improve what these systems offer us as humans, as a society, so we can make sure that our technologies help us work and help us live in our world, help us improve our world for us to live, and eventually, hopefully, help us solve the big issues that we face as humanity, be they around being more efficient in power usage and so on, or be it in how we live together as humans. Many of these questions are actually something that might be addressed by quantum computers and certainly can benefit from quantum communications.
Why is security important in the networks of the future?
Security is crucial in any kind of communication network that you might be thinking of today or in the future. If you consider today's networks and you consider what we use our telecommunications infrastructure for today, you will think of any part of your life and you will find that secure communications are actually a requirement to make this reality. If you think of all communication that we have, be that emails or social media, etc., all of this today uses secure communications technology. But more importantly, or maybe more critically for society, any kind of process that goes on in industry, any communication industry, any governmental communication or anything that goes on in the military, today everything is based on secure communication networks. So we should be asking ourselves, what is the critical part in our telecommunication networks today? And what happens if we actually would lose this trust in the security of our communication network? And I fear that here the answer is, if we lose trust in our telecommunication networks, in our telecoms infrastructure, we would actually have to go back to life as it might have been 50, 70, maybe even 100 years ago, when telecommunication networks were not a thing or were fully analog, and you could not have trust in those technologies. Secure communications did not exist. So the answer is, why is security important? Is simple. Security is critical for all our communication networks, and to maintain the trust in our networks that we have, to maintain an open and trustworthy society as we know it today. Now the question is, why is this different in the future than it is today? And the answer to that question lies in the rise of quantum technologies, and especially quantum computers. And here you have to consider that with the rise of a quantum computer, our classical communication infrastructures as we know today, based on encryption, are no longer going to be considered secure. We're going to face the issue that quantum computers can actually basically represent a threat against the encryption that we have today, or rather against the authentication and key exchange systems that we have today. So if we open a small bracket here, if we talk about our current security infrastructure, we're typically talking about our public key cryptography system, where we have a system for exchanging keys and generating certificates for authentication, which are based on asymmetric cryptography, which effectively means we're using some kind of one-way functions or trapdoor functions, which are very easy to operate in one direction, but are very, very hard to reverse. And as such, these are functions that we can use to build secure schemes in order to transmit a key or in order to establish a certificate with which we can prove that one party is who they claim to be, and with which we can make sure that we have a secure key exchange, so that afterwards we can use those keys to actually encrypt the messages we're trying to transmit. And here we should discern between the asymmetric cryptography, which I just mentioned, and the symmetric cryptography that is actually then encrypting the messages that we want to transmit. The former, the asymmetric cryptography, is the one that is actually threatened by the quantum computers. The symmetric cryptography, as we know it today, is considered quantum safe and may not have to change much. We may have to improve the way we handle the keys, and we may have to extend the size of the keys as such, but the symmetric cryptography is not the major issue. The major issue is, as I said, in the asymmetric cryptography, where these functions that are easy to operate in one way but very hard to reverse no longer are hard to reverse if I have the power of a quantum computer. So if I might have to face an attacker on my network enabled by a quantum computer, I can no longer rely on these mechanisms that we have today. So we have to ask ourselves, can we extend these mechanisms or can we find new mechanisms to ensure that we are able to do authentication and that we're able to do key exchange also in a world where quantum computers exist and where an attacker on a network might be able to use a quantum computer. And this is where we start talking about post-quantum cryptography. So we're starting to augment the cryptography that we have today with functions that remain hard to reverse even when you have a quantum computer. At the same time, these are very young technologies, and we may not be willing or able to fully rely on post-quantum cryptography alone, since we have no proof that these functions that we're now developing, these mathematical systems or mathematical algorithms, remain hard for a long time, even if you now start spending significant effort on trying to attack them. So in parallel, there's a second technology which we can use to establish shared keys between two endpoints. And this technology is called quantum key distribution, where we actually start now really entering the world of quantum communications. And in quantum key distribution, we're using the quantum properties of light. So we're using the fact that light or the particles of light, so-called photons, have polarization, and we can use the quantum nature of this polarization to actually develop protocols that even when we have attackers enabled by quantum computers, we can actually have a secure key exchange. And here the quantum properties of the light enable us to ensure that we can prove a key exchange to be secure, or we can at least detect any kind of eavesdropping that might be happening on our key exchange. So quantum key distribution allows us to establish provably secure keys, and we actually get what is called information theoretical security for those keys. And that allows us to build systems that are provably secure as far as the key exchange and the key material goes. And we can then use those superior keys, those very secure keys, in order to enable our symmetric encryption, our symmetric encryption for the actual messages, to still be secure against quantum computer-enabled attacks. And by combining post-quantum cryptography and QKD into a system that uses post-quantum cryptography to enable authentication that is quantum secure, and we use QKD to actually have a key exchange, then we actually have the full system again, where we have the authentication from PQC, the key exchange from QKD, and the symmetric crypto, which is already considered quantum safe. And by combining those three, we can build a secure network that allows us to maintain network security, to allows us to maintain the trust in our communication networks, in our telecommunications infrastructure, so that we can actually continue to use those technologies to continue to operate a connected society as we have gotten used to in the last couple of decades.
Nuestra cita es los lunes a las 12 del mediodía. Sintoniza la radio NAT virtual con El Oír de las Regiones. Una propuesta del Observatorio Intersistémico Regional y el Sistema de Servicio Social Unadista para el Desarrollo Regional de los Territorios y Microterritorios de Colombia. Recuerda, todos los lunes a las 12 del mediodía. Te esperamos, El Oír de las Regiones.
How to adapt the OSI model to quantum technologies?
This is a good question. When we think about quantum technologies, and especially if we're talking about the OSI model, of course, quantum communications, we have to ask ourselves, do we need to adapt the OSI model? Do we actually want to replace the OSI model and replace classical communications? Or are we going to deploy quantum communications, or in this case, maybe initially quantum key distribution, with in parallel with classical networks? So maybe we need to maintain the OSI stack for the classical networks. And we have to ask ourselves, can we find a parallel, an analog to the OSI model, which is applicable for quantum technologies? And of course, the beauty of the OSI stack is in the isolation between the layers and the fact that we can achieve very good interoperability by separating layers as they were proposed by OSI and as it has been the basis for any telecommunication networks for many, many years. Now, when we are thinking about quantum key distribution, we are thinking about deploying a process or a technology that lives in parallel to the classical networks insofar as it takes care of the key exchange and it takes care of generating shared secrets between points within the network. And as such, we cannot replace the OSI stack of the classical communication infrastructure. We need to deploy QKD in parallel. And we can then use the keys that we generate with QKD to actually secure the communications, the classical communication that are based on the OSI stack. So for instance, we might be able to use the QKD keys to improve the security in layers 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the OSI stack. So if we're thinking about layer 1, we might be able to do encryption of very high-speed traffic payloads directly at layer 1 in the physical layer on the level of an optical payload and an ODU or something like that. In layer 2, of course, we have the typical MACsec protocols, and we have already shown that we can actually improve the security of MACsec by incorporating quantum key distribution derived keys. And the same then goes for layers 3 and 4, where we have IPsec on layer 3 and then TLS as a typical example for security on layer 4, where all of these mechanisms that exist in those protocols to actually negotiate a crypto suit or to negotiate a key exchange method can be expanded and augmented to allow the selection of keys derived from quantum key distribution. So in that sense, we should not give up on the OSI stack. We can augment all the protocols in the OSI stack to use quantum key distribution derived keys. In parallel, we need to ask ourselves, what do we need to develop for QKD in order to be able to think about QKD and the processes, the protocols going on in QKD in order to be able to relate it to the OSI stack and maybe to develop a similar stack for quantum key distribution. And here we can start by first thinking an analog of the OSI stack, at least on the physical layer, in that we have the quantum layer, the actual exchange of quantum information, of qubits, where we use in the typical implementations photons, single photons, to actually transmit our qubits and eventually detect our qubits and establish the shared key. At the same time, within this quantum key distribution protocols, we already have a number of steps that happen in post-processing or in parallel to this. So we already have what we call a service channel. And now this is a classical channel that we can assume to be a public channel. So you could say this channel is kind of in parallel and it actually needs the classical OSI stack to actually support the service channel. So we already have more complexity than we had in the classical OSI stack. Now, when we start talking about the quantum key distribution systems, we have very simple point-to-point systems initially, and in these point-to-point systems, we have our quantum layer, and we have some kind of service channel or some kind of link layer, if you so would, that basically exists in parallel to the quantum layer, rather than just being a stack. If we want to move from point-to-point links with quantum key distribution into actual networks, then we need to start developing what we can take as the analog to the OSI network layer. And here, if we think about quantum key distribution that initially is only point-to-point, in order to establish point-to-multipoint or full networking mesh kind of connectivity and establishing keys in a full mesh type of network, we actually need to start developing a key distribution layer or a key management layer where we actually have to establish trusted nodes and we have to relay keys across those trusted nodes in order to eventually establish an end-to-end secure key. So we can make a certain number of analogs towards the OSI layer and develop a new stack for the quantum key distribution and quantum networks. But we definitely need to maintain the original OSI stack for our classical communications, and we should rather than replace the stack, we should learn from the principles behind the OSI stack and from the advantages or the benefits that we have used in the classical telecommunications from this OSI stack to actually build a similar model, build a similar abstraction tool for our quantum networks.
how to transfer technology from what is done in the laboratory to industry?
This is a very good question, and I think this is a question for all kind of technologies, in fact, where it is always a challenge to develop a technology in a laboratory and show that it works in a laboratory on a low technology readiness levels, on a low TRL level, how to take this technology and push it forward into demonstrating it in real applications with real use cases in real environments until eventually it is ready with slightly higher TRL levels, 5, 6, 7, 8, where it will actually be picked up by industry. And I think to some extent, the answer here is similar for quantum key technologies or quantum technologies in general as it is for any other technology. We need a certain amount of interest that we have to see from industry, and then we need a certain amount of input of resources in order to actually bridge this gap and drive the technologies a little bit further than what we might normally only do in academia, being showing a functional demonstrator, but not taking it any further. Now, with quantum technologies and especially quantum key distribution, there may be a number of additional hurdles in that actually normal technologies are relatively easy to explain and to understand. If you're trying to explain quantum technologies and the impact of quantum technologies, it very, very quickly gets very, very complex. And we do have to keep in mind that it is not as common to be familiar with quantum mechanics and quantum theory than it is with many other technological theories or technological techniques. So for quantum key distribution in particular, I guess we have to consider what is the current state where we see that we have shown that this is functional. And we have also shown that we can actually integrate this with classical networks. We have shown that we can use it in different places in the network on different layers of the protocol stack. And we have shown that we can actually build fully functional systems where we use QKD keys integrated with network encryptors in order to actually encrypt classical traffic at very high data rates with very, very good network performance. So as such, we have shown in the labs that this is able to integrate and that this can actually be used in real networks and can have an actual security benefit to those real networks as far as the security benefit from the secure keys from quantum key distribution goes. So what is the hurdle that remains for this to eventually be adopted in industry and to be selected by network operators and equipment providers? And I guess here the answer is maybe twofold. The first one is we need to build a better understanding for why this technology is actually needed. And I think here this comes back to the threat posed by quantum computers. And we maybe also have to make sure that we understand better when is this threat actually relevant. And here we may have to say that, of course, today quantum computers are not ready to actually present a real threat. But we may have to act today in order to prevent people from today storing the information that they might want to decrypt later. So-called harvest now and decrypt later attacks mean that even if the quantum computers only come around in 10, 20, 30 years, we may already today have to invest in those new technologies. So I think the first answer is, what do we need to do in order to actually get those technologies adopted by industry? Might be we need to build awareness that actually these technologies are there and they solve a problem which on the surface might only look like it's relevant in 1 or 2 decades, but actually is a very relevant problem already today if you need to keep your data secure for such a long time, for 10, 20, 30 years. The second part of the answer is we need to actually look at what are the challenges towards the technology being adopted. And here I think it is the impact on the network that you would face if you would try to integrate quantum key distribution in your network as an operator. Currently, quantum key distribution requires additional fiber infrastructure, and fiber, of course, is an expensive resource in a network. At the same time, quantum key distribution presents a resource in a network which functions completely different to classical networking resources. In a classical network, a capacity is there, and only if you have traffic, you can use this capacity. With quantum key distribution, we're actually continuously generating keys, and I can buffer those keys. We can actually store those keys, and we can make them available at runtime at a higher rate than I can actually instantaneously generate them. So we also have to think about what is the cost of considering in a network a completely different type of resource that operates completely differently from our classical communication networks. And I think here then is probably the first steps that we have to tackle. Finding out how can we actually make sure we minimize the impact of QKD on the requirements for fiber infrastructure, making sure we can showcase pathways for operators to include this technology in their networks with limited cost in using new fibers, or with the ability to multiplex this traffic onto fibers that already carry classical traffic. And we have to show that we can build these systems that can handle and manage the keys and eventually distribute the keys, that can at the same time integrate with the infrastructure that the network operators already have, meaning the control and management systems that are out there, but everything around in the classical world that is already there. And at the same time, these key management systems need to tie in with the actual use cases or the actual business case of the operators. We have to show that the operator can actually find a business case in offering these very highly secure keys to their customers. So we have to think of potentially coming up with a business case that is key as a service, or in those directions. So I think we need to show that technology can integrate. That I think is partially already done, but we need to limit the footprint, the cost of that technology in the network. We need to make sure that we can show that this technology integrates into the operational workflows of industry, and we need to make sure that we can show industry that there is an actual business case for these technologies to be adopted in their networks.
Todos los lunes y cada 15 días, Contando hasta 10 los acompaña con temas de interés de la vida cotidiana a las que expertos en psicología darán respuesta.
Escúchenos todos los lunes a las 11:30 por Radio UNAD Virtual.
Una invitación del programa de comunicación social SEAD Arbeláez Fusagasugá.
Finally, what are the next steps in research and innovation regarding quantum technologies?
Quantum technologies right now are a very, very hot field of research. There is plenty of money being poured into quantum computer. There is significant money now being poured into quantum communications and also quantum sensing. So I would say this is a field that is very active, and there's many things that are upcoming. If you think about quantum computers, at this moment, everything is about scaling. The number of qubits that you can do computations with is a key factor currently being looked at. But if you actually want to make those quantum computers useful, we need to think about the classical infrastructure around those computers. So we need to make sure that we have error correction on those quantum signals, so quantum error correction. We need to make sure that the lifetime of our qubits is improved. So there's a lot of work going into these technologies to actually improve those quantum computers. If we are thinking about quantum communications, quantum key distribution is only the first step. Quantum key distribution is what we can realize today, but it's only a stepping stone towards more complex and full quantum networks. So if we say that today we have quantum key distribution, we use qubits to distribute keys, then what we're doing is we're sending quantum bits across the network, but we're actually using these quantum bits to distill classical bits, which we want to use as key material for encrypting classical traffic. If we want to go one step further, we can say we want to use this network not to just generate keys, but to actually connect quantum computers, to allow quantum computers to exchange quantum information on the fly as we do today with classical computers. The power of our classical computing has increased manifold when we started connecting computers. The same is expected to hold for quantum computers. So one of the next steps that is maybe mid or long term is to find out how can we actually build the technologies that we need in order to build full quantum networks where we can actually interconnect quantum computers. And this means we need to obviously keep developing the transmitters and receivers that we already develop for quantum key distribution. But we also need to think about elements that are within the network. Can we develop something that we might call a quantum memory? Can we develop quantum repeaters? How can we actually get this quantum information over long distances? How can we establish this quantum information end to end? And one of the approaches that is out there and that people are heavily researching is to build networks based on quantum entanglement, to establish entanglement end to end, so having multiple entanglement exchanges in between so that we can have entanglement end to end and using that entanglement of quantum particles in order to transmit information. So there's many things to be done in quantum technologies, and we haven't even mentioned quantum sensing, where I think there is even more still to be done. But I think the first steps are we need to establish quantum communications as a basis. We need to show quantum key distribution in actual networks, and that is the stepping stone towards real quantum networks, so that we can actually develop those technologies of quantum networks to be ready at the same time as the ongoing developments in quantum computers actually deliver us fully functional quantum computers of a useful scale. Because if we can actually take those steps in parallel, then we're well placed to have a fully functional network and a functioning quantum computer of useful scale at the same time, so that we can lift the maximum benefit of those upcoming quantum technologies and really realize this quantum leap.
Thank you very much, Simon. All of these are very important topics in Industry 5.0. We hope to have you again at the university and work together in the future.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to talk to you. I think it is very nice to always be here and discuss what is relevant to you. It is always a pleasure to come back here, and I'm always happy to discuss those technologies. And we're always happy to share our insights and learn from your insights.
Sigue con nosotros. Estás escuchando Radio UNAD Virtual, emisora de la Universidad Nacional Abierta y a Distancia UNAD.